Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. All the Matajis sing. Everyone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chant loudly, Hare Bol, Jai Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Does anyone remember anything we spoke about in this portion of the presentations yesterday? Anyone remember anything? Raise your hand if you remember anything. I can't think if I remember anything either. Remember, we're at Govanon Hill here. Anything? Yes. Okay. Yes, that's where we began, the creation. What was the first material thing created? Huh? Pradana. Yes, okay. Pradana. By definition, pradana means first. False ego. Yes. False ego. And that's the problem. Or there's one stage, actually, before false ego. There is a misuse of free will by the living entities. And to remove the false ego, the free will of the living entity, that means us, we have to change our position, our desire, from turning our back on Krishna, Krishna Bhule Se Jeev, anadiya bahimuk, to turning towards Krishna. Now, actually, we can't do that by our own power. We can desire, and we can make our attempt, and that we really should do. That is necessary, but not sufficient. Necessary, but not sufficient. But then really, if we gain the shelter of Krishna again, requires Krishna's mercy. So that shelter is actually of the internal energy. And the process of attaining that shelter is also the internal energy, and that's called bhakti. Now, what was the key that we discussed? And I asked everyone to write it, to give you a small hint. A, association. Now there's going to be four little hints in that way, and we've gotten one of them. Association, and in this class, if Krishna allows, we'll have three others. Now, to turn, what is the purpose of association? To increase bhakti? Yes. Here's another way to look at it. Now, I won't read the whole excerpt from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, but at 26 Second Avenue, at one point, one of the devotees was asking, because the devotees, new devotees, didn't really have a frame of reference of Krishna consciousness. We had not the Vedic culture, but we had the Western culture as our frame of reference. So one of the devotees was asking Srila Prabhupada at 26 Second Avenue about different philosophers and whether they were or weren't Krishna conscious. So someone said, Nietzsche, was he Krishna conscious? Was Kafka Krishna conscious? Timothy Leary, Bob Dylan, anyone who that they had some respect for and were following to some degree. Is this person Krishna conscious? Is that person Krishna conscious? And Prabhupada's reply was that they are all mental speculators. What did he mean by that? That, yes, not based on Shastra, practically, what does it mean? Yeah, it comes only from the mind. And Krishna consciousness is not something of the material world. Golo Keda Prema Dana Hari Nama Sankirtan. It comes. The process of bhakti is not of this world. The elements of bhakti. So mental speculator means manaratena sato davatobahi, means just traveling far and wide in the material realm on the platform of the mind. So there's really no question of people being Krishna conscious on that platform. So Prabhupada, someone asked Prabhupada, do you actually mean that none of these great thinkers are God conscious? None of them? No one is Krishna conscious? God conscious? And Prabhupada's reply to that was very simple. He said, their sincerity is their God consciousness. What does sincerity mean? A very difficult term to define, actually. What does sincerity mean? It's best or most easily defined by in vyatarek, in negative, what it is not. It is not, according to the dictionary, sincerity means a freedom from deceit. So no deceit, no cheating. And sincerity means no hypocrisy. No saying one thing and doing another. And sincerity means no falseness. But what is it? Something true, some sincere, looking for truth earnestly, looking for truth, in the heart, however little or greatness of sincerity one has, that is one's Krishna consciousness. When we look at this in terms of great sincerity, the residents of Vrindavan are the most sincere Krishna conscious persons, because Krishna consciousness means they are not falsely thinking themselves as the center, Krishna bhule se jeev, having turned their backs on Krishna, but they're accepting their actual position, they're accepting reality. And what is reality? That we are Krishna's servant. They have placed Krishna in the center of their lives. They have actually fully placed Krishna in the center of their lives with love. That is full sincerity. We could say that Krishna consciousness is sincerity, because that's, everything else is false, actually speaking. Everything else is hypocrisy. So Prabhupada therefore said that their Krishna consciousness, how much, even if it is a little bit, the smallest bit of even if not trying to be the Supreme Lord, that little bit of sincerity, not bluffing, is their Krishna consciousness. So I would like to add this letter of S for sincerity to the A for association. From association, and this is actually how sincerity comes. Prabhupada was once asked in Melbourne, I was there in 1974, at a meeting in the town hall, how does one become sincere? And Prabhupada's reply, which put a lot of pressure on the devotees who were living in the temple, associate with them. Then you will become sincere. But even before he said that, he said, if you want to become a drunkard, how can you become a drunkard? Go to the bar, the tavern, the pub, and associate with drunkards, and you will become a drunkard. If you want to become sincere, associate with them, he said, and he pointed to the devotees. Because something is caught in association. Something is transferred from the heart of a devotee through his mouth, through the ear of the listener, into the heart, and that is a sincerity of purpose. Here's some quotations from Prabhupada. There are hundreds of them, actually. I looked them up in folio, but I've just picked some really short ones. This is from Bhagavad Gita. The devotees are constantly engaged in the Supreme Lord's service. The Lord understands the mentality and sincerity of a particular living entity who is engaged in Krishna consciousness and gives him the intelligence to understand the science of Krishna in the association of devotees. He understands Sarvasya chaham ride sanavisto. He understands the mentality and the sincerity. Another quotation from the Bhagavatam, Kunti Devi. The Lord is so kind that he does not show special favor only to one who is a great philosopher. He knows the sincerity of purpose. In other words, the Krishna consciousness movement And the great challenge of our life is to stop placing ourselves in the center of existence, which is illusion and falsity, because how can I be the center of existence? I'm the only one who would accept it. No one else would accept that I'm the center of existence. And that's really what the material world is about. So many persons insisting that they are the center and colliding with the other persons who also have the same insistence. So to sincerely make an honest attempt to place Krishna in the center of one's decision-making in one's life, that is sincerity. And Krishna knows how sincere we are. This is one about all the girls who were kidnapped. We'll have one other quotation about this. Kidnapped by Bhomashura. And who did they ask to, who did they request to rescue them? Lord Krishna. The fallen girls under the clutches of Bhomashura sincerely prayed to Lord Krishna for their deliverance. And their sincerity of purpose made them at once pure by virtue of devotion. Simply sincerity. Their sincerity is their Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said about the philosophers. One more. One should therefore practice devotional service at home, hearing and chanting the holy name, quality, form, pastimes, entourage, in association with pure devotees. And this practice will help one awaken God consciousness in proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. All it takes is this sincerity. Sincerely wanting to stop, give up the pretense that I am the center and everything should be arranged around me and my pleasure, and sincerely trying to place Krishna in the center. Two very short ones. Once engaged in the bhakti yoga process with all sincerity, one will have no chance of falling down. Even if one falls down, there's no loss. If one has made one's attempt with sincerity. Sincerity is everything. Prabhupada said in Washington, D.C., 1976, if one simply follows with sincerity, then Krishna is pleased. And in one of the commentaries on Bhagavad Gita verse in the 18th chapter, Yatta Pravita Bhutanam. It means every person, Shreyan Sudama Vigunat Paradamat Svanustitat, that every person can please Krishna through his own work. And one of the commentators has said, the devotee takes his work and just simply approaches Krishna and says, may you be pleased by this. Sincerely. So the wealth and the Krishna consciousness is sincerity, and the lacking on the other side is sincerity or an overabundance of insincerity. So so we have an A, which stands for, and we have an S, which stands for, and naturally we want to know how can we increase our sincerity, and what's the answer to that? There's not just one answer, but anyone have any suggestions? Association? Excuse me? Association. Any others? Good. Association with sincere people? Yes? Usually you are scratching or raising? Usually it's... This is one thing one learns as a teacher. When one asks a question, there are many, many, many times students who want to answer, but they just aren't sure they're going to do it. And it takes the form of going like this. And 99% of the time, when you ask, does anyone want to answer? And you see someone going like this or something, and you say, yeah, you just call them, and then they'll immediately... So now everyone has to sit on their hands or something like that. Yes. Introspection. Well, that's going to come up in one moment. Any other suggestions? Yes. Reading Prabhupada's books, association and hearing. Anything else? Prayer. Yes. Thank you. chanting, come to the Dham, take a step to Krishna, yes? Work hard, yes. For who? For Krishna. Yes, Krishna's representative, so many things. And then when we serve sincerely, and all these parts of service, then some taste comes. And here's a question that I would like to ask, because devotional service is so varied. Where does your taste come from, individually and personally, in Krishna consciousness? Oh, there's a lip movement. That's even better than a scratch on the cheek. Yes, Prabhu. Association. Where do you actually get taste from in Krishna consciousness? It increases your desire, your sincere desire. Oh, a moving pen. Yes, Mataji. Prabhupada's books. Thank you. Yes. Huh? Vrindavan Dham. Govardhan Hill. Oh, yes. Wandering around Govardhan. Sometimes with a camera. I like to do that. Yes. Preaching. Yes. Yes. Dedicated devotees. By associating with dedicated devotees, sincere devotees. Saranagati. Didi Darshan. Yes. You're going to say, who? Nrisingadev. Devi. Yes. What? What? I didn't hear. Govardhan. Oh, the deities, yes. Which deities are your favorite? Oh, no. I don't believe that. You just don't want to reveal. If my deities are your favorite, how come you never come and see them? You should come. Yes. Service. What kind of service? Cooking for the deities. So many things. Panchanga Bhakti. The items, five items of Panchanga Bhakti Srila Rupa Goswami recommends. Now, I would like to bring up a peculiarity of sincerity is that it immediately reveals something in one's consciousness, and that is insincerity. Sincerity reveals insincerity, just like the light, when things are dark in a room, there is no shadow. But as soon as there's light, there's a lot of shadow. Or another way to look at it, I was trying to think of an example about this. Just like I have a desire to purchase a... not something small like a table, but I want to buy a big airplane or a big building. Say if it's an actual sincere desire. What does that immediately reveal? Yes, my poverty. When you want to do something very, very big, immediately you understand how poor you are. So similarly, if we want to be Krishna conscious very sincerely, what's immediately revealed, if we really want it sincerely, just like we come to a retreat and we get some inspiration and we're going to meditate on Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's stories and verses, and we really sincerely want to do it, and then 10 minutes after, as soon as we take prasadam, we've completely forgotten about it. We can't even remember what happened. And then when the next time we think, boy, I'm so shallow in my Krishna consciousness. I want to get up early in the morning. I want to get up 1:30 in the morning and chant and chant and chant. I want to control my mind. I want to never stop chanting. I want to purchase the greatest facility in the world, the greatest thing of Krishna consciousness. But when one really tries sincerely, one finds out one simply is poverty stricken. This is a very strange fact. Someone who is insincere or not advanced or not trying hard, he sees, oh yes, I'm a great devotee. But someone who is, and then we notice, yes, I think like that. I'm so proud. So that means insincerity. This means obstacles. This is the shadow. This is my poverty. And a sincere attempt reveals this. These things, we'll come to this. So therefore, someone mentioned introspection. Who mentioned that? Yes, so introspection reveals this. Prayer reveals this. Just trying to continuously, steadily serve year after year reveals poverty. Trying to chant attentively reveals poverty. These things are obstacles in our devotional service. Especially with chanting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, and I think everyone is familiar with this, I'll read one line and I will ask everyone who can think of the Sanskrit to raise your hand. O my Lord, your holy name can alone render all benediction to living beings. And thus, you have hundreds of millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. Who knows the Sanskrit to that? Raise your hand. What is it? Loudly. Nam nam kari bahuda nivasava shaktis. In these transcendental names, your names benedict us. And you have hundreds of millions of names. And in these transcendental names, Mahaprabhu says, you have invested all your transcendental energies. Abhinatam namanamano. Krishna's names are not different from Krishna. So this is association with Krishna. And there are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. So he's made it so easy. Oh my Lord, out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you, sincerely approach you by chanting your holy names. But I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. Durdaivam idrisamiha nanujanu ragaha. Raga means attraction, and durdaiva means unfortunate. Durdaivam, unfortunate. Obstacles, insincerity, misfortune, because Krishna makes himself so easily available. I was thinking that we could all do a free writing now for 10 minutes and write down obstacles to our own personal devotional service. But then we'd all probably get so depressed that I decided that we won't do that. We'll just continue moving on. But take 1 minute and think of some of these obstacles that you personally have. Only 1 minute, though. No, I won't make a joke now. Go ahead. 1 minute. Wanting to think about obstacles. Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur in Bhajan Rahasya, he describes the obstacles. He gives a commentary in Durdaiva Midrisamihana Januraga. He says there's four types of misfortunes, unfortunateness that gives us this unfortune, this durdaiva. The first one is called Ridaya Durlabam. Anyone know what that means? Durbal means Ridaya Durlabam. Weakness of heart. And there are four kinds of weaknesses of heart. And Aparad, everyone knows what that means. Offenses. This is what these four make us unfortunate and not give us a taste for chanting the holy names. Weakness of heart, aparad, asat trishna. Trishna means thirst. Asat means the temporary. Desires for the temporary material enjoyment. And tattva vibrama, which means not understanding the philosophy, basically. And each one of those four are divided into four parts. We'll read those quickly. These are all obstacles that make us unfortunate and keep us from turning to Krishna. The Asat Krishna is desire for material objects, desire for heavenly comforts, desire for mystic powers, and desire for liberation. That's one, two. This is what makes us unfortunate. These are the Asat Krishna, material desires. Tattva Vibhrama. Who remembers what Tattva Vibhrama means? Not understanding the philosophy, basically. Four kinds of unfortunatenesses. Illusion, or not understanding. Well, that's the fourth one here, excuse me. Not understanding the process of sadhana properly. Not understanding who Krishna is. Not understanding the material world. And not understanding our own position. This is the four illusions. One cow has come. One cow has come and... Oh, no, 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 no. How many? So many. Offenses. Four different kinds of offenses. This is what makes us unfortunate. Offenses towards the holy name. Offenses towards the Lord's form. Offenses towards the devotees. And listen to the fourth one. It is called Jana Aparat. Offenses towards other living beings. Not the devotees, not the Lord, not the name, but just the jana, sublok, just anyone else offending them. Very heavy. And weakness of heart, riddaya dolamam, there are four. And they are... attachment to objects not related to Krishna. Deceitfulness or fault finding. Enviousness and desire for fame. This is called upasakagan in the language of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Labha, puja, pratishtari, yatta, upasakagan. They are weeds. And these are all anartas, and they give birth to six enemies. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarja, lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and envy. These, if one sincerely tries to become Krishna conscious, makes a sincere attempt, he must come up against these obstacles, these insincerities, these weaknesses that make us unfortunate. So the second of the verses of that Mahaprabhu has said in the Shiksha Astaka, Chikastak, brings up this point. And the result of the second verse is the third verse. And what's the third verse? Trinadapi sunichena torodapi sahisnuna kirtaniya sadahari. That there is sincerity brings light to our insincerity, and that insincerity is the greatest gift in a sense. Yes, And this section of what I would like to speak about is I've called it obstacles as stepping stones to humility. Because Trinada Pisuni Chena, one should chant the holy names of the Lord in a humble state of mind. If one isn't sincere, one can't be humble. One will never see one's weaknesses, the obstacles, unless one is sincere. One can't see the shadow unless the light. Unless one tries to make the greatest of purchases, one won't see one's poverty. Because a man, if he's just buying, if he has enough money to buy his chapatis and rice, he's going to think, oh, I have enough money, I'm not poor. But a person who's trying to get something, and what is more wonderful to purchase other than Krishna consciousness? So therefore, Mahaprabhu says next, one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree. How could one be more tolerant than a tree if one, unless one thinks I'm so low and fallen, and I deserve anything that I get, and ready to offer all respects to others? In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the constantly. So the third letter that we'd like to add after the A and the S is the one for humility. And that is the H. So it's A-S-H. And that spells Ash. And then in case we think, oh, I'm so fallen, how wonderful it is, now I understand, I have so many obstacles and weaknesses, just remember ash and what it tastes like. It's not very pleasant. And if one has association and becomes sincere and becomes humble, it is not very pleasant. It tastes terrible in the heart because one is so painfully aware of one's shortcomings. But I would like to say, make a differentiation between low self-esteem and humility. Low self-esteem is when we understand all these obstacles and all the time we're thinking about how fallen I am, and I do this wrong and I do that wrong and I do that wrong and I do that wrong, and I'm terrible in this way and terrible in that way, and I'm disgusting and disgraceful and horrible in this way and that way, and today I did this wrong and this wrong and this one, when I told this person that and I should have said that. That's not humility. That's neurosis. Self-indulgency, because one's only thinking about who? Oneself. That's not humility. One's just wrapped up in oneself. But humility means that when one becomes conscious of one's faults, how one has so much insincerity, one is overloaded with insincerity, then when one depends upon Krishna, and says, okay, Krishna, please take me. You are Dinabandhu, as we heard. You are the savior of the most fallen. That is humility, but one has to keep in that humble state of mind. Listen to what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says. Just imagine the consciousness. Now, he's not bluffing. He's not bluffing, but this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, Jai Jai Nityananda Charanaravinda Jaha Hoite Painu Sri Radha Govinda. All glory to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, by whose mercy I have attained Sri Radha Govinda. I am more sinful than Jagai and Madhai, and even lower than the worms in the stool. Anyone who hears my name loses the results of his pious activities. Anyone who utters my name, who speaks my name, becomes sinful. This is how he's actually conceiving himself in this way. how sincere he must be. But yet, what is the first thing he's saying? Glories to Nityananda, because his mercy, by his mercy, I've attained Radha Govinda. This is humility. He's taken shelter of Lord Nityananda. He continues, who in this world but Nityananda could show his mercy to such an abominable person as me? He is intoxicated by ecstatic love, as in it is an incarnation of mercy. He does not distinguish between the good and the bad. He delivers all that fall down before him. Therefore, he has delivered such a sinful and fallen person as me. Although I am sinful and I am the most fallen, he has conferred upon me the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami. And guess what I'm going to do with this miracle box? So the ash of humility, it tastes terrible, but it gives us this incredible facility to actually call out to Krishna for help, to Nityananda Prabhu, to Prabhupada, to our spiritual master, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Giriraj. If we're feeling proud, we don't call out like that. This is what Kunti Devi says. Janmaishwarya shuta shibir eda mano mana pumam na eva arhati abhidatum vai tama kinchina gochara. You are the property of not those who feel pride to my birth, my intelligence, my learning, my beauty, my wealth, but tvam akinchana gochara. You are the property of those who possess nothing in this material world. No pride, no feeling of I have good qualities. Now listen to what Prabhupada says. Let's see if we can actually do this.
Can you hear? I'm worthless. My Guru Maharaj has given this chance to serve Krishna. I'm worthless and no capacity.
I'll read it.
You do not take any offense.
You'll have to do it.
Accept whatever I get. That is
I'll read it after too.
That mantra is sufficient. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yumi Bhaktya Prajanchati. Krishna never said that
someone had asked Prabhupada how much the devotees need Sanskrit. Oh, I just shut it down. I was trying to back it up. Okay. But I'll read it anyway. To hear Prabhupada's voice here is nice. Any language. Someone said, why don't your devotees know Sanskrit? They should learn Sanskrit. Prabhupada's reply was, any language you should submit. And you should feel that I am worthless. My Guru Maharaj has given this chance to serve Krishna. I am worthless. I have no capacity to serve you. Please do not take any offense. Accept whatever I can do. That's all. That is my request. Whether it's in Sanskrit, that's not the point. It's the point of sincerity, of humility. That mantra is sufficient. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yome Bhakti Prayachati. Krishna never said, one who offers me with Sanskrit mantra. Yome Bhakti Prayachati. The real thing is bhakti, feeling. How to serve Krishna. How to please him. That is wanted. Not to see that you're a very good scholar in speaking in Sanskrit or English. That is not. Always feel that I am worthless, but I have been, by the grace of my Guru Maharaj, I have been given the chance. So kindly accept whatever little service I can give. I'm offensive, so kindly excuse me. In this way, be humble, meek, and offer your feeling. And Krishna will be satisfied. Not that you have to show that you can speak in Sanskrit language. So, if we read which is the point of this presentation. Let me just back up a little bit. And then if we just feel, if we have some sincerity and then be introspective and prayerful, and we understand how unqualified we are, we have so many faults, that negativeness, which materialistic psychologists will call low self-esteem, is the most valuable thing. If one actually has a taste in Krishna consciousness and has the ability to call out to Krishna, it is a very difficult thing to do, because there's such a tendency to just think about how all my faults and everything like that, just think about myself. But instead, if we can actually take that humility and use that to increase our negativeness, in a sense, because the more negative we are, the more power we have to attract the positive, and that's Krishna. But that has to be a sincere calling out. So I would like to make a statement of faith here, that whatever our debilities or whatever our faults and obstacles, this is all material. And a material circumstance cannot hold back our Krishna consciousness. A material circumstance cannot hold back our Krishna consciousness. If the humility that it breeds within us is deep. And in the fourth of the Chatur Sloka Bhagavatam verses, which describes Tarangam or Abhideya Tattva, the process of devotional service, Krishna explains, get the rest. Yes, thank you. That the process of Krishna consciousness can be practiced in any circumstance. That includes whatever material obstacles, whatever our circumstances and lacks are. If it's turned into humility, powerful humility, it cannot stop our practice of Krishna consciousness. And in Prabhupada's purport, he gives two amazing examples of this. He quotes from the Garuda Purana. I won't read them now, but that explains that when worms and birds and beasts take to devotional service, they're elevated. And quoting from the Sringa Purana, the residents of hell, when they chant Krishna's names, they are saved. Because when one is burning like that, whatever the suffering, if somehow one can take shelter of Krishna. So if we feel the burningness of our debilities, of our obstacles, of our the shadow of our spiritual poverty, these obstacles, rather than being obstacles, they'll be transformed into the greatest wealth we have. But still, I would like to suggest one other thing. So we have an A, an S, and an H. We're at ash level right now. We're tasting the dry, bitterness, tasteless, dry ash of humility. And if we call out, and that calling out is... is the mood that we're requested to read Prabhupada's books in. And this brings our presentation to the point of what I wish to talk about specifically with prayerful reading. If we read with humility and a calling out, we are associating with Prabhupada. So the association is there. The sincerity is there. The humility is there. The negative is there. The ash is there. And then if we read and get some instruction, an attempt to apply it in our life, and this point is very hard. It's so easy to preach the philosophy, but to apply it when it's happening to you is hard. You can tell someone else what they should do, but when you're in that circumstance, the application, it's hard. But, and we'll be speaking about this right now, if we add the A for application onto A-S-H-A, what do we come up with? Asha. And what does Asha mean? Hope. We can just apply a little bit every day from what we read. We go into the readings. And this is what I'm actually hoping, that we can develop this habit, because it doesn't really take that long even. If we can just read a little bit every day or every 2 days or every week, but actually take it, read it in a prayerful mood, and take some of those instructions that comes from the association of Srila Prabhupada. And that's what he said, if you want to know me, this is the association that he's given us. Then if we try to apply it to our life, then there is hope. There's a handout I would like to everyone to take at this time. And we'll read from some of these points. I need one also, so I can get my bearings. I'll take it first. This is called Applying Prayerful Reading. So take it. Don't start reading quite yet, but you can take this with you. It's 3 pages. But don't start reading yet, because there's just a little bit more I want to say. Because when we become inspired, we get some inspiration in Krishna consciousness, there's such a tendency to want to make a big, 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 drastic external change. Because there's dissatisfaction in material life, so we want to change everything. But that's on the external. That's what we, in one sense, what we don't want to do. Because remember what we were talking about yesterday. The real problem is the false ego. It's on the deepest of internal levels. And changing the externals, keep on continuously changing the externals, can end up continuously giving us further problems, because we're not facing the real issue. The real issue is that we're tiny fallen souls and we need Krishna. We need to place Him in the center of our lives. And to make this point, I would like to just reiterate the pastime of Lord Brahma. And Satchinandan Raj said a few prayers of Lord Brahma's this morning, and I'll also mention a very famous one. When Brahma had committed a mistake by stealing the cowherd boys and the boys from Krishna, he felt very bad. And one of the prayers he offered to Krishna is this one. And this tells, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this as where bhakti begins. This is what we should do. He said, the Sanskrit is Gyane Priyasam Urupastanamante Eva Jivanti San Mukaritam Bhavadiyavartam Stanestita. Stay in your place. Shutigatam Tanovan Manobir Ye Priyaso Jito Jito Pyasitas Pilokyam. Those, Lord Brahma said, those persons who were remaining situated in their established social position, throw away the process of speculative knowledge, and with their body, mind, and words, offer offer all respects to descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicating their lives to these narrations. In other words, he's saying that you should hear, stay where you are. Don't make the external change. Get to the real point and make the internal change. And how? By hearing. And by hearing, by respectfully hear with respect to descriptions of your personality and activities and dedicating their lives to these narrations, which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees. Certainly, these persons, ajita jita, they conquer the unconquerable Lord. They conquer your Lordship if we will hear. Although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. In other words, don't change the externals. Just hear about Krishna. And this is what we are suggesting. Take this very big step of hearing and trying to apply. Now, because we want to change our attitude. And the attitude, again, is that I'm in the center of existence. And we want to change it to bhakti, Bhagavad Dharma. That Krishna is in the center of existence. So what we gain through the prayerful reading, some point that we may get, and we want to read, the point of the prayerful reading is to read with depth. Not this much or that much. Read with depth. One point, that's all we ask. One point, but let that one point go in so deeply that we wish to apply that point in our life. And even if we can't keep our mind on it continuously during the day, but even if we remember that one point one time during the day or two times during the day and make the attempt to apply it. What to speak of trying to really deeply assimilate it and meditate on it. Raise your hand if you still remember the point that you read yesterday, a point that you read in the prayerful reading yesterday. Raise your hand if you remember it. That's wonderful. Raise your hand higher so I can think about it. Now, that's wonderful. That's incredible. It worked. Krishna was kind. Is there a practical application of that point in your life today? Did you think about it today? Raise your hand if you thought actually were able, did it naturally, did you think about that point today? What was your point? So say if you just remember that, simple point. Sadhusanga is important, association with devotees. So therefore I'm going to be a little more careful in my dealings today. And if I think about that one time or two times, what to speak of having it so deeply assimilated that it becomes like a meditation. I'm going to associate properly with the devotees today. This is really what we want, but once or twice is an improvement. Better than no time. Just assimilate something deeply and try to apply it. So therefore, the prayerful reading is humble and prayerful application. That is the next step in that. Humble and prayerful application. Oh, Krishna, even give me the strength to apply the principle that I read today. And then I fail. And I don't think about it one time a day, or I do just the opposite. Then it's an obstacle. I've done the wrong thing. Turn that obstacle to humility. Oh, Krishna, see how much help I need. Please. Take care of me. I need you so badly. And then we'll just, if we can follow these simple principles, just four simple principles, A-S-H-A, we will be hopeful. Let's just read some points that Prabhupada says about application. Room conversation with Monsieur Rust, Hatha Yogi, 1974 in Geneva. Prabhupada said, one does not even need to change his worldly position. Simply, he has to hear your message. Although you are not understandable by the material senses, simply by hearing about you, one can gradually conquer the nescience, ignorance of misunderstanding. By your grace only, you become revealed to your devotee. You are unconquerable by any other means. Just by hearing. We are not presenting something manufactured. There is no need, because things in perfection is already there in the Bhagavad Gita. There is no need of manufacturing by fools and rascals. There is no need. Everything is there in perfection. Simply, we have to accept it and apply it in practical life. That's something. One devotee in Perth was making this point to me, you know, that the devotees tend to know things theoretically, but we have to apply the philosophy. We have to apply the philosophy. It really struck with me. He had realized something. Then, if we apply the philosophy, then our life will be successful. Simply, we have to understand it. Krishna says that janma karma cha me dibyam evam yo veti tatvata. Simply to understand Krishna as he is. In this way, next one, we have to study Krishna very scientifically. And the books are there. And we have tried to explain as far as possible. So, we want to take advantage of the books. Take advantage of this institution. Don't waste a moment of your life. Take it very seriously. Ayusha, Chana, Eko, Pinalabhya, Swana, Kotabi. Take seriously. Especially those who are educated. They should take seriously consideration of this Krishna consciousness movement. Try to understand each and every verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Especially, and if possible, Bhagavatam. There are so many books. We have got programmed to publish at least 84 books like this. 400 pages each. So we have already published 54 books. So if you want to understand Krishna through science and philosophy, read these books. Otherwise, very easy method. Come here, chant Hare Krishna. That's all. There is no difficulty. So read, apply. The Bhagavad Gita is there. The Srimad Bhagavatam is there. Now we are publishing other books. Also, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So read them. These three or four books. If you read, you become fully qualified with knowledge and vijnanam and apply them in your practical life. And astikyam, in full faith of the procedures and in Krishna, that will make you successful. Initiation ceremony of Vishnujan. Does anyone know who was also initiated on that Easter Sunday with Vishnujan? Huh? No, not me. But tomorrow, Krishna Goswami Maharaj. They are interpreting Bhagavad Gita in their own way. That is the difficulty. Therefore, we are presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is, and people are taking advantage of that. So first-class man, he knows what is Bhagavad Gita and he tries to apply the teachings in practical life. Then you become first-class. Interestingly enough, conversation with Mr. and Mrs. Wax, writer and editing manager of Playboy magazine. Prabhupada spoke to many different kinds of people. So this is going on. And Krishna says, Mata Prataram Nanyat, I am the Supreme. They won't believe. They'll manufacture their ideas. This is going on. Aham Adihi Devanam. They won't believe that. And still they declare, I am student of Bhagavad Gita. They won't believe a word of Krishna. And they'll say, I am a student of Bhagavad Gita. This is going on. This is our position. In India, everyone says, I have read Bhagavad Gita 300 times. but he does not know even a word. So this should be stopped. If we want to advance actually, you take every word of Bhagavad Gita and try to apply in life. Then everyone will be happy. That is a fact. The instruction is there. There is no difficulty to understand. There is no question of interpretation. Simply take it as it is and try to apply it in life. You'll be happy and your human life will be successful. Next. The original words of Lord Krishna have unrivaled potency, and anyone who is fortunate enough to hear those words and tries to apply them in his life becomes perfect. Not even successfully, but try to apply. Because even if we're unsuccessful, if we can just turn that unsuccess into humility and pray to Krishna to help me, such a fallen soul, if every person who criticizes us, we hear that someone has criticized me, if we can say humbly and without being in a joking mood, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is another vote for me as the most fallen person. Please, you take me. Somehow, if we can turn it to humility, anything, it's wonderful. Next, so Prabhupada says, Gyane Priyasam Udopasya. A person who has taken this determination that it is futile. It is useless to try to understand what is God by my limited knowledge. He is an intelligent man who takes this decision. So, Gyane Priyasam Udopasya Namanta Eva. Just become submissive. Just try to understand your position, that you are a very insignificant segment in this material world or in the creation. Namanta Eva, just become submissive. Gyane Priyasam. Giving up this endeavor to understand the Supreme by one's limited knowledge and just become submissive. Then, what is the process? San mukharitam bhavadiya vartam. You just try to understand the Supreme from the reliable source. San mukharitam. Sat mukharitam. Mukharitam means from the lips. From the lips of realized souls. Just like Arjuna's understanding about God from direct Krishna, from the lips of Krishna. Swayam padmanabha mukam mukanisritaha. So this is the process. So similarly, if we understand about God through the lips of Arjuna or his bona fide representative, that is the process. Gyane priyasam udopasya namanta eva. Submissively. One who tries to understand the transcendental nature of God from the reliable source. Stenestita. Never mind what he is. Never mind what he is. Either Indian or European, or American, or Japanese, or Hindu, or Muslim. Never mind. So stanestita. Just be situated in your place. That doesn't matter. Shutagatam. Just try to understand through your ears by oral reception. Oral reception. Sanmukuritam. Shutagatam. Shuti means this ear. Reception through the ear. San mukharitam shutagatam tanovan manobir. Then just try to practice it in your life. Tanovan manobir ye priyasa ajita. My dear Lord, you are unconquerable. But by this process, by this person, you become conquered simply by hearing. It is such a nice process. God is not conquerable. But he becomes conquerable. He is conquered by a devotee who gives up this nonsense process of understanding him by his limited knowledge and becomes submissive and just try to hear from the right source and try to apply in your life. Then you become a conqueror of the Supreme. The gopis, as we heard, that wonderful story, that Krishna couldn't reciprocate with them, with their love. he actually became conquered by them. So similarly, Prabhupada explains in New York in 1966, Lord Krishna also says, Tasyaham Sulabha. Sulabha means I'm easily available. God is not easily available. It is very difficult. But for a person who is constantly in Krishna consciousness, the Lord says himself, for him, I am easily available. Easily available. So why don't you take up this process? And the final quotation. Therefore it is said, Yatirta buddhi shalele nikarhichit janeshu abhigeshu. Those who are expert in giving knowledge, we should associate. Satam prasangam mamavirusam vido bhavanti ritkana rasayana hakata. If we associate with saintly persons and hear from them Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures, then ritkana rasayana hakata, it becomes appealing to the heart. Rit, and pleasing to the ear. Ritkana rasayana hakata. And if you bring them into practical purposes, apply in your life, then shraddha bhakti ratira nukramishati, then gradually you'll become faithful to the Supreme. Shraddha bhakti, you'll develop your natural instincts of devotional service. Shraddha bhakti rati, attachment, anukramishati, one after another. This is the process. Unfortunately, we are not taking advantage of these prerogatives of human life. Four simple points under prayerful reading. Association with Srila Prabhupada through his books, reading in a prayerful way, not trying to read so much and become a great scholar, but read deeply. Sincerely, S-A-S, sincerely, that Krishna, I want to become your servant. I want to place you in the center of my life. And humility, because sincerity naturally brings humility, as light brings the shadow. A-S-H, and because A-S-H, ash, does not taste good, if we apply, it changes. If we read, apply, it changes to, the A is placed at the end, it becomes Asha, and that is our hope. Okay? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hopeful. Remember at the beginning, I said two things. Association and hope. Here's the hope. When I was putting this together, I saw it just happened that the A-S, I just had to change the H and the S around. And I thought, oh, Krishna's hand is at work. Okay, take 10 minutes and write. Free writing.